So here is all my praise, express with all my heart, offer to a friend who took my place and ran the course I could not even start.
If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we'll let you be seated for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I like to say this. Brother Fisher preached just a wonderful message on Thursday night. And, I was talking to my family, talking to my wife, my children. God knows exactly what we need as Christians. He knows exactly what we need, and He knows exactly when we need it. And that message was just exactly what we needed, and the timing, it was exactly when we needed it as a church. And what a blessing Brother Fisher was to us. And I would like to say, again, I wish Brother Myers was still here and he would preach instead of me. And more than that, I really wish Pastor was here. Really, I do. I miss my pastor. I do. We're family here, and I want to talk to you more as a brother and sister in Christ. And I really do. I often think about the last email that I got from Pastor, and what a blessing that was. I think about the last meeting, and when I say last, I don't mean last like this is the last time. I have faith that the Lord can work out a miracle, and that He's going to come back, and He's going to be preaching, and going to be leading the church. I have faith in that, and I have hope in God, and God can. If anybody can, God can. And but anyway, I recall the last meeting that I had with Pastor, and what a blessing that was. What a joy it was to me. We met for about an hour right before work was done. He called me. We met in Joseph's office right across the walkway here, right outside the chapel in Joseph's office, and we just talked a little bit, and he talked about vision. That he had for the music ministry. He was trying to cast vision. He was trying to get me to see the vision for the music ministry. And one of the things that we talked about was he wanted to see more men singing in the church, singing solos and singing in groups. And what a blessing. Last week, Brother Nick is an intern here in the college, and he's helping out with the music ministry. He's been working with high school boys, or some high school boys that sang here, and that's something that Pastor wanted, and he's been working with them, and it's happening. The men last week, you know, it's an old song. We sang it before, but it was a blessing just to have the men up here singing A Few Good Men, and then to see brother Ryan Rawl singing a solo, and Brother Rawl has a powerful voice. And he doesn't need a mic. And when we sang up here with the men, I told Brother Zeke, you turn Brother Raul down a little bit, all right? Because otherwise we can't hear anybody else. And but powerful voice, and it's a blessing. What a blessing. And so we talked a little bit about that. We talked about the choir. And that same day, he emailed me. And it was a blessing and an encouragement to me. And he said something like this, Brother Pineda, it was just a blessing to be able to spend about an hour with you today. Really enjoyed our time. I really miss the conversations that I have, this is Pastor, that I have with our staff men. You know, during this whole building process, Pastor's been really busy. And his communication, even with the and even church members, but even with just his staff, has been a little bit less because of the busyness of that building. And so he goes, I look forward to the building being finished, and so we can have more time like this. And that was a huge blessing to me. I've been coming to church now for 21 years. It'll be 22 years in March. And I remember when I met Pastor. What a blessing. I remember I walked, this is, and if you don't know the history in Long Beach, but in Long Beach, there's a lot of gang violence in Long Beach between Hispanic gangs and the Asian gangs. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm white. I'm kidding. I'm Hispanic. And the first time I walked into church, I didn't look like this. I wasn't wearing a shirt and tie when I first walked into our church property. This is over here on Anaheim and Raymond. And I just got off a city bus on Juan Apparel in Anaheim. And I saw this church, Cambodian Baptist Church, as we were driving by the street there on Anaheim. And I just got saved. I got saved 2 months prior to that at Montecito Baptist Church. I had no idea what a Cambodian was. No offense, Cambodian people. I love Cambodians. I married one, okay? So don't get offended. I had no idea what a Cambodian was. I thought that was just, you know, I didn't pay attention to my geography class or whatever. I don't know what it was. But I thought, well, maybe it's just another name for a Baptist church. You know, Montecito Baptist Church, Cambodian Baptist Church, First Baptist. It's just another name for a Baptist church. So I got off the bus, and I crossed the street, and I walked over to the church, and everything was just gated, and there's like this sheet metal blocking, you know, your view from seeing inside, but you could hear people playing inside this property. So I walked around to the gate, and I walk inside. Now, again, I just gotten saved. You know, I'm 15 years old. I've got size 40 pants, okay? And I got a baggy shirt. This is during the hip-hop era. And those of you that are in your 30s or early 40s, you know, you remember this era. You know, it was baggy clothes back then. Now it's skinny jeans, you know? It's a skinny look. Okay, and help us, yes. And I always say this. This is how you can tell if your jeans are too tight, okay? And, you know, there's always guys that are, you know, out in the world, they're perverted. They're always looking at women the wrong way. Now, if they're looking at you the wrong way because of the jeans you're wearing, your jeans are too tight, okay? So that's just a test. That's just that when you go to Starbucks and you walk in, if the guys are checking you out, they're like, ooh, look, what is that? And they can't fit. Your jeans are too tight. Anyway, so I walked in the church. I got my baggy clothes on. I got long hair. I mean, it was pretty. I had pretty long, wavy hair, and I had a nice little earring on the left side. Okay, on the left side, right? Because that's where all the straight guys put their earrings, on the left side. If you had it on the right side, anyway, as Brother Carrillo would say, you have too much sugar in your pockets. So I walked in, and really, when I walked in, again, there's tension between Asian gangs and Hispanic gangs. And I wasn't a gangster. I was just, you know, a little hip-hop boy, I guess you can call me. And I walked in, and man, I can't believe how many dirty looks I got when I walked into this church. Like, what's this guy doing over here? And everybody's looking at me like they thought I was in there to cause some problems or something. And they had this happened after that shooting Pastor talks about, where my wife's cousin, Chanta Chim, got shot in church, okay? And so I walk in, and they're thinking, oh, goodness, who is this guy? I still remember, Brother Ross is over in the commercial service. But I remember the first person that walked up to me and greeted me with a handshake. It was Brother Ross. Now, Brother Ross and I, we're the same age. He looks a lot older than I do. I know it's hard to believe. But we are, he's a year older than me, right? He's 37? Is he 37? That's his American age. He's probably like 47 in reality, you know? Some of the Asians do that, you know, they lower their age, they can go to school. And anyway, here's Brother Ross came up to me, and he shook my hand. That was a blessing to me, and me with my Catholic background, I go, hey, my name is George, and he introduced himself to me, and I go, hey, I just got saved. I go to Montecito Baptist Church, and you know, I just saw your church here, Cambodian Baptist Church, and I go, can I talk to your priest? It's my Catholic background. And the Brother Ross said, oh, you mean Pastor Joe? And I said, yeah, Pastor Joe. And I heard the term pastor, but I just forgot. And I go, yeah, let me talk to Pastor Joe. And so he brought me over and introduced me to Pastor. And Pastor, we start talking, and Pastor invited me to come back to play some basketball that afternoon. They were putting up some brand new, homemade basketball courts. They bought some plywood from somewhere, or they found plywood, and they painted the plywood, and then they put a box in the middle of the plywood, and they put a rim on it, and we made our own basketball courts. Played basketball, started playing basketball every day after school, and then I said, Pastor, you know, I got some free time. I had dropped out of school. I don't recommend it, but I wasn't going to school. I've been in school for like 9 months. And I offered Pastor, you know, if you want, I got some free time. You need any help around the church, I'd be glad to help you. So he had me come over, and I'd be there every day. And he'd give me a little task, you know, hey, I need you to sweep the parking lot. Can you throw all the trash out in the entire building? Can you do this? Can you get the roaches out of that water cooler in the foyer? And, you know, it was just little tasks here and there. One day I was outside working, and Pastor came out. And he said, Brother Panay, or not Brother Panay, he goes, George, you got a minute? Can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he goes, well, let's go to my office. I'm like, okay. You know, I thought, wow, he's either going to talk to me about, you know, maybe giving me a promotion or something like that, more work, or maybe I didn't do a job correctly and he's going to teach me, you know, about how to fix the job and how to do it right. And so I'm over here thinking, what does Pastor want to talk to me about? So I go in his office and I sit down, and Pastor's on the other side of his desk, and he says, George, I got a question for you. And I'm like, sure, go ahead, Pastor. He goes, George, and he looked me in the eyes. He goes, do you go to school? And I put my head down, and I'm like, ugh. I told him, I said, Pastor, I haven't been in school since ninth grade. I was supposed to be in 10th grade. It's been about a year almost that I haven't been in school. He goes, George, you need to go to school. And he talked to me about the Christian school that they had there. And just to make a long story short, I got into the Christian school. He put me on work scholarship. He allowed me to be on work scholarship. I'd go to school for half of the day. The other half of the day, I'd work. I'd clean like I was cleaning already. And that's how I went through school. Then I met the Myers and, you know, moved in with them. They gave me work, and I was able to go to our Christian school. So Pastor was one of our supervisors, Learning Center supervisors, like a teacher. Okay, he was our pastor. He was like a teacher to us. He was my basketball coach. Growing up, you know, this is before we had a staff. And we had he was our basketball coach. I remember he had a station wagon that we would fill up, and we'd go to, all over the place. We'd go out to Riverside and go to Azusa and go to different basketball tournaments with Pastor. What a wonderful time it was. Brother Ross was one of those young teenagers that was able to spend a lot of time with Pastor. I remember Pastor, whenever we were building anything in the church, I remember, this was pretty neat. He goes, hey, you guys want to work off some of your paces? And I'm like, good night, yes, can we please? I mean, good. I'm tired of these fifth grade paces. I'm like in 11th grade. Can I, you know, help me? And we'd work together, and so I miss my pastor. I told my wife this We're going to get to the message here. We won't be long. No worry, we won't be long. We're all praying for a miracle.
Yeah. Amen.
And I know sometimes, and even in our prayers, and I know I do, I get a little bit selfish. And I changed the way I'm praying for Pastor. Of course, you know, I pray, Lord, I like to have my pastor back. But more than that, I think about Miss Mary.
There you go.
And I pray, Lord, would you just give her her husband back?
Amen.
You know, I think about the children. You know, more than I want my pastor back, Lord, would you give the children their daddy back?
Yep, amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jennifer right here. More than I'm praying that I get my pastor back, Lord, would you give her father-in-law back?
Yep.
2 Corinthians chapter number 12. There will always be suffering in our lives. There's always going to be pain. There's always going to be sorrow. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good times as a Christian. They're wonderful times. And I'm enjoying every day of my life. I really do. I try to enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
And enjoy every moment that I have with my kids. Because you don't know when it's going to be the last day.
Right.
You have no idea. And I'm trying to enjoy every moment with my wife. Believe it or not, I'm trying to enjoy every moment that I have that I get with my mother-in-law. Yeah, that's right, my mother-in-law. And I'm not just saying it because she's here. Or am I? Anyway. But just enjoy it. We have good times. It's wonderful times. I'm enjoying the time with that we get to build this building for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I was thinking about what to preach, and in reality, I'm gonna be honest with you. I had two other messages that I was thinking about preaching, and just yesterday, after we got done on the job site, I went into my office. The kids were doing their work scholarship, and I'm in there and I'm just looking at some notes and I'm looking at verses and I typed this out yesterday. Oh, right while they were cleaning. Then I went to the barbershop, and I waited the longest time at the barbershop, like almost 2 hours. It was long. But it gave me an opportunity to work on my message a little bit, and so I'm thankful for that. And here's what this is basically a message that I put together just yesterday, and I hope it's an encouragement and a blessing to you. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 7. Bible says, unless I should be exalted above measure, this is Paul speaking, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might depart from me. Verse number 9. And he saith unto me, and this is the key verse or the key phrase that I want to focus on, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. This is kind of odd. But I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to come to church. Lord, I pray that you bless our time here together. I pray that you would bless, Lord, your word. And Lord, I don't have anything good to say, but your word is good. Lord, I pray that you'd just bless your word. May it not be vain, and you promise that your word would not be vain, Lord. Not go out void, and to help us to get something, Lord, please encourage us, strengthen us as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let me say this. Again, I was talking to my wife recently about this, and I mentioned this to you. There's nothing new here that I'm gonna say, but I want to encourage us encourage myself as a church to keep going forward for the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God that we have Brother Myers here with us during this time.
Yes.
And by the way, will you pray for Brother Myers? Okay, and don't like, oh, I wonder if that's how pastor would do it. Okay, we're not trying to change anything. We're trying to do everything that we can the way that pastor would have it done. Okay, and don't get that attitude. Oh, that's, you know, pastor would have done that already, or pastor would have done this, or, you know, let's not go there, okay? Let's pray for him. Let's encourage him. Let's be a blessing to him. Hey, let's help him, you know, let's uplift his arms as he's trying to keep the church going forward. Thank God for our pastor, one reason I believe that the church is still going forward, still going strong, people are getting saved, they're getting baptized, new converts are joining the church, people are being discipled. The reason, one of the reasons I believe it's happening is because pastor taught us well.
Amen.
Not just the staff, not just the guys up here, but y'all feel like you're at home, the claim team, the hymn team, trying to make you feel at home. It's because of y'all. Hey, we've been taught right. We've been taught the Word of God.
Amen.
We know what the Bible says.
Yes,
we know we're supposed to be faithful to God.
Yes,
and I want to, some of the things I'm going to say this morning, I got 4 points, and some of the points that I have, we're already doing them. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing them.
Yes,
keep on keeping on, someone once said. God will not allow you to go through anything you can't handle. His grace is sufficient. I have no idea. By the way, you know, we have to be careful about this, but you know, we have pastor, he's in the hospital, and you know, we're suffering as a church, but let's not forget that there are other people that are suffering as well. People come to church and they have hurts, they have pains, they're suffering, there's struggles, there's trials that they're going through. Let's not forget that. And I don't think we have. I think we're still trying to help people out.
Amen.
With their hurt,
yes,
with their pain, with their suffering. And as we're helping people out, let's encourage them. Hey, His grace is sufficient.
Yes.
God is not going to allow you to go through anything that you can't handle.
Amen.
He'll give you the grace that you need to get through those trials. Hey, there may be some financial trials in your life. God will give you the grace to go through that. Hey, you may be having a hard time at work. Your boss, you're on the hate list with your boss, okay? He don't like you. And when I say boss, I don't mean your wife, okay? I mean like your boss at work. Okay? There may be some friction there, and you know what? His grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, you may have some health problems that you're going through. There's somebody in here, you may not even know it. You may know it. You may have cancer. His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient,
yes, sir,
for thee. I want to encourage us as a church that as we're going through a trial here, as our pastor is healing, I want to encourage us to realize that something good will come out of our suffering.
Amen.
I like what Brother Fisher said on Thursday night, and I'm not, you know, it's not word for word, but he says something like this, like, you know, he goes out and he preaches at other churches, and he talks about our church. He tells other churches, people are concerned. There's other pastors that are praying for us, and they're praying for pastor, and they're concerned. So they ask, how's the church doing? And Brother Fisher says, oh, they're doing fine. They're doing fine. They're moving forward. They're doing fine. They're still soul winning. They're doing fine. Hey, they're still praying. They're doing fine. Hey, they're still giving. They're doing fine. That building is still being built. They're doing fine. Okay, so realize that something good will come of your suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now let me say this. The good may not be good for you, but it may be good for someone else. You get that? Well, the good may not be good for you, but it may be good for somebody else. Well, what do you mean, Brother Pineda? Well, you think of in the Bible, in Acts chapter 6, we read about a man. His name was Stephen. Okay, remember the first deacon, right? First deacon in the church, New Testament church. And if you think about it, his life did not end really. You know, in our eyes, it doesn't seem like it ended good. And if you don't know his story, Stephen was stoned to death. He was a godly man. He loved the Lord. He was faithful in the work of the ministry. All things may work together for good. It may not be your good, but it will be good for somebody. So what do you mean? Well, in Acts chapter number 6, we read the story about Stephen, and you know, he was a man of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and God allowed him to be stoned to death. And again, we would think, man, that's not good. In the next chapter, this is the good that came out of it. In the next chapter, in chapter number 7, we read about a man named Saul. And because of what happened to Stephen being stoned, that made an impact in Saul's life. And Saul got saved, and his name was changed to Paul, the greatest missionary that has ever lived. See, realize that something good will come out of your suffering. But it's not, you may not see it now. It may come out later. We just don't know. Just hang in there. Amen. Let's just hang in there. Let's hang in there. I'm talking to myself. Let's just hang in there. Something good is going to happen. And by the way, let me say, good things are already happening in our church. Again, you know, Brother Myers has been mentioning, and he mentioned this to Brother Fisher. Brother Fisher talked about it. January, we had a wonderful January. And people are being faithful to church, and people are giving, and they're being faithful to helping out on the job site. Had a wonderful January. The bus routes are doing great. Wonderful January. Okay, and we're seeing some good already, but there may be even more good because of our suffering. I told you it won't be long. I've got 4 points, and we're going to number 2 right now. Number 2, and we're already doing this, but I want to encourage you to continue to do so. Stay faithful to your God during suffering. During times of suffering, stay faithful to your God. My wife is a little bit different. Everybody's gonna look at her, and she doesn't look weird or anything like that. You know, not that way. But whenever I want to talk to my wife during the day, because she works, you know, she works from home. She goes, George, don't call me. Just text me or email me. You know, I don't need to hear your voice. I'm good night. Thanks a lot, hon. I love you too. And so, but whenever she emails me, she has this verse at the bottom of her email. And it's almost like, you know, I read it and I'm like, is she trying to tell me something? And so she has this verse, and you know what, let's go over it. Proverbs chapter number 24. Look at Proverbs chapter number 24. Again, I don't know if she's calling me out or, you know, I've been a baby or what, you know. But stay faithful to your God during suffering. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." God says, if you give up or you throw in the towel when things aren't going like you wanted them to go, you're weak. Thy strength is small. Now, guys, we have an ego. Don't call me a wimp. You don't know who you're talking to. You know, roll up your sleeves. I'll show you a wimp. Bible says, if we quit when things start getting rough, our strength is small. And I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm having a bad day, and that's why my wife's putting that at the bottom of an email. Don't quit, George. Stop being a baby. Grow up. Adversity is difficulties or misfortunes. We're all going to go through some difficult times. We're all going to go through some misfortunes. Somebody's going to, you know, mistreat us. Say, Brother Pineda, you ever been mistreated? Yeah. Have you ever mistreated anybody? Oh, yeah. It's just going to happen. Okay? But that doesn't give us a right to give up on the Lord. Amen. By the way, you know, I mistreat people. I do. Okay? How many of you are like me? Just the men. How many of you are like me? Sometimes you mistreat people. I raise your hand. Come on, guys. Please help me out. Good night. Good night, Brother Chip. You know, you're good night. You're good. Help me out, Brother Chip. Okay, we miss, a lot of times it's our spouse, right? Oh, my soul. Right there. Now, I want her to forgive me, right? I want her to forgive me. I don't want her to hold a grudge. I don't want her to be bitter, be mad at me all the time. I want her to forgive me. Now, when somebody mistreats me, you know what I ought to do? I ought to forgive them. I can't expect my wife to forgive me if I don't learn to forgive other people. I can't do it. You know, sometimes, you know, could you imagine me going to my wife and expecting her to forgive me, and she knows that there's bitterness or there's a grudge that I have against somebody else and I haven't forgiven them? She's probably thinking, man, you don't give forgiveness. How are you going to get forgiveness? You see, we reap what we sow. Now, things are going to get hard. You may have, you know, there may be some tough times. There's going to be some adversity. Hey, there may be some struggles, some adversity in your marriage. Just because there's struggles or adversities in your marriage doesn't mean you quit on your spouse. You hang in there and you work it out. You know, when your kids are going through hard times, they're going to go through hard times. You don't give up. We don't give up on our children, right? We don't say, hey, you're not my son anymore. You got a demerit. We're done. We're through. Okay. By the way, guys should not be saying, we're through. My son came home one day, and he said another boy came up to him, and he was mad, or they got mad or something. And the boy said, we're through. And I'm like, oh, good night, son. That's the kind of boys you want to stay away from anyway, all right? Guys don't say we're through. Okay? Now, girls might say it. But anyway, hey, kids, our kids are going to get in trouble. That doesn't mean we give up on the Lord. We don't give up on them. We don't give up on the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on you? Amen. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Look, growing up in this church, you know, I've had my times going into pastor's office and like, pastor, I just messed up. I just did something stupid. I just did something dumb. Now, I remember sometimes just crying. You know, young boy, because, you know, I don't want to say young adult, because young men really, you know, if I say you cry as a young man, you know, it kind of feels kind of like a sissy. But no, as a young kid, going and crying and getting a hug from your pastor, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Get back up. Get back on your feet. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't give up on you? Hey, stay faithful to your God, to our God. Let's stay faithful to our God during suffering. All right, let me throw this in here. I remember as a young adult, I was somewhat foolish. I was acting like a little rebel one time. And I came to church, and I did something really stupid. I was picking on a younger kid. How many of you ever pick on somebody smaller than you? And it takes a lot to find somebody smaller than me. I know that. But I found somebody smaller than me. And I was picking on him, and I made him cry. And this was wrong. It was wrong. And I made him cry. And I remember Brother Esposito saw it. Brother Esposito, he came out, and he just let me have it. He said, what are you doing, George? And Brother Esposito, literally, he kicked me off the church property. He goes, you need to get out of here. And I was like, good night. That was pretty bad. And, of course, you know, in the moment, you know, I had a rebellious spirit. I'm like, okay, I'm out of here, whatever. So I left. Now, I didn't leave for good. I just left that day. But I didn't leave God. I just left that day. I wasn't going to quit on God just because, you know, things didn't go right. Well, just because somebody offended me. By the way, I needed to be offended that day. And sometimes, you know what? You know, little rebellious kids need to be offended sometimes. And it's good for them. And I needed to be offended. I'm not glad he offended me a little bit, kicked me out of church. I straightened up a little bit and I came back to God. I wasn't here for him. I was here for the Lord. Okay, now I'm glad he was in my life. He's a part of my life. He's helped me and he's helped me grow as a Christian. But I was here for God. Adversity will come, but don't let that stop you from serving the Lord. Stay faithful to the Lord during hard times. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. And this is really who the adversary is. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the who? The devil." Not your wife. Doesn't say your wife, right? Not your husband. The adversary, your husband, Brother Jerry. No, it doesn't say that. Not your, you know, your Sunday school teacher. Okay? It's not your care group leader. It's not your kid's school teacher, right? Your adversary is not the bus captain that brought you to church. You know, it's not pastor. It's not Brother Ray Pichardo, who's making everybody get a haircut, you know, every other week or whatever. He's not the adversary. The Bible says here, by the way, can I say this? So just so you think that, you know, oh, how come he's picking on my kids? My son has to get a haircut by tomorrow. He does. Brother Pichardo said so. He's got to get a haircut. So he's not just picking on your kids. He's picking on mine too. So guess what? He's going to get a haircut. And if he doesn't get a haircut, he gets demerits. The adversary, it's Satan, the devil. Hey, it's not your neighbor. It's the devil. It's not your boss. It's the devil. The adversary, the devil. So let's stay faithful. So we said, number one, realize that something good will come of our suffering. Something good. It may not be good for you, but it could be good for somebody else. Number two, stay faithful to your God during suffering. And we are, thank God that we have people in our church who are faithful. Number three, realize that everyone will go through suffering. We're all going to go through it. I have a Sunday school class with now we're getting older. Somebody suggested that we should change our Sunday school. It's the New Life Bible class, that we should change our name now that we're older to the Midlife Bible class. That'll make me feel good. But we're all getting a little bit older, and we tell our class, you know, hey, look, I don't know. Some of us may have to go through cancer. It may be me. It may be my wife. You know, maybe Ratna. Maybe Courtney. It might be, you know, somebody even younger than that. I don't know. But somebody in here may go through cancer. And you stay faithful to the Lord when Amen. You're going through suffering. Everyone will go through suffering. Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." A lot of trouble on this side of heaven. A lot of trouble. I want you to go to John chapter number 15, please. Please go to John chapter number 15, and I want to look at a couple verses here. John chapter 15. And let's read verse number 1. Jesus says here, "I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me," by the way, the branches are Christians. Okay, that's us. We're branches here. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, listen to this. So here's a branch not bearing fruit, he taketh away. Now, the ones that are bearing fruit, you think, oh, you know, we're going to bless them. You know, we're going to, you know, make them a millionaire, or, you know, we're going to help them win the lotto, or whatever, you know. What does it say here? It says, and every branch or every Christian that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, again, the branches are Christians. And we're supposed to be plugged into Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're supposed to be plugged into the vine. Now, one branch is not bearing fruit, right? The Bible says he taketh it away. Now, for the branch that's not bearing fruit, you know what? Things are hard. Things are rough. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. So it's going to be rough for you. You don't stay plugged into the vine, it's going to be rough. Your marriage is going to be rough. Your child rearing, you know, bringing up your children, it's going to be rough. You know, where you know your place of employment, if you don't do things right, it's going to be rough. You know, so many of us, we miss out. We miss out on God's blessing, and God wants to bless your marriage, and God wants to bless your home, and God wants to bless you even at your workplace. But because we don't do things right and we don't stay plugged into the vine, things get hard. Things get difficult. So here we see, number one, a branch that's not plugged in to the vine. The Bible says there's going to be pain and there's going to be suffering. There'll be crying. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be discouragement. Now, the other branch that's bearing fruit, this is the Christian who's faithful to the Lord. Here's somebody who's plugged into Jesus. They're reading their Bible every day. They're praying every day. They're soul winners. They're witnessing to people. They're faithful to a ministry at the church. You know, by the way, every ministry is important, all right? And the Lord, I think of Mrs. Stein and her coffee brewing ministry. How many of us, by the way, I don't even go to the Pacific Bible class, and I'm blessed by it, all right? Every now and then, you know, I don't get my cup of coffee at home. That's the first stop I make is right there. I see Mrs. Stein. Okay, and what a task she has, and she does a wonderful job at it. But maybe, you know, you're faithful to your ministry. You're a faithful bus captain. You're a faithful bus worker. You're a faithful Sunday school teacher. And then God sees that and he says, you know what? I want that bus captain right there. I want him to bear more fruit. So what does the Lord do? Does he say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna give him more money so he can have better promotions. Or I'm gonna give him a raise at work so he could do more for his Sunday school class. Or I'm gonna do that. No, the Bible says, if you're gonna bear more fruit, he's gonna purge you. Now, purging, sometimes it's not fun. It's not something that you know what? Man, Lord, purge me. Give it to me, hurt me a little bit. I wanna bear more fruit. It's not something that's always fun. Now, let me say this. Both branches, whether you're plugged in or not plugged in, whether you're backslidden or right with the Lord, both of them hurt. Here's the difference. People that are not plugged into the branch, to Jesus, backslidden, trying to, you know, do their own thing, Jesus is not with you. But if you're plugged into the vine and God is purging you and he's purging our church, the Lord is with us.
Amen.
I thank God that we have a comforter. I thank God that the Lord is there, that when wherever, you know, there's some purging in our life, whenever God is trying to help us to bear more fruit, that he's there with us. Suffering. I think our church is doing a good job at this, and I want to encourage you to keep it up. The last thing is this, and then we're done. Number four. let me read you a verse, and you don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter number 24 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea." Glorify, number four, glorify the Lord through your suffering. Let's bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's do all to the glory of God. While we're going through the suffering, hey, let's whatever the Lord has for us, let's do it all to the glory of God. And I think we're all doing that. We're still doing that. But maybe, you know what, sometimes the devil comes in and he plants a little seed and says, you know what, it's time for you to go. You know what? Good night. You know. Let's slack off a little bit right now. Hey, no, it's not time to slack off. Keep doing everything to the glory of God. Bus captain, keep doing everything to the glory of God. Bus worker, keep doing everything to the glory of God. Sunday school teacher, keep doing everything to the glory of God. Everything that we do. Everybody, the deacons in our church, hey, let's keep doing everything to the glory of God. In the building, while we're building that building, we're doing it for the glory of God.
Right.
Let's keep moving forward for God's glory.
Amen.
I think our church is doing a wonderful job at this. And I just want to encourage you some more. Just like, hey, let's keep doing it. Let's keep moving forward. Yes, we're hurting. And there's going to be times where, you know what, you're praying and you're talking to the Lord and we're praying for our pastor, or you're praying for whatever burden you have. And there's going to be some pain, and there's going to be some sorrow. And go ahead and cry a little bit. It's okay to cry. Okay? You know, the Lord's just kind of collecting those tears. Right? Put them in a little jar. I don't know what the Lord, and I don't know what you're going through, but I know that as a church, as a whole, we're going through some suffering. I want to remind us that His grace is sufficient for thee. Maybe you're going through something different, some other kind of struggle. His grace is sufficient for thee.